Before you leave, you need to make sure that you try Waffle House.
Yeah, I've heard of that place. Do they have like top tier waffles?
No.
High quality food?
No.
Is it like a good family environment?
No.
Do they keep the restaurant clean?
No.
Are they known for having the best of literally anything?
No.
Will I feel safe there?
No.
Do they have any healthy options or?
No.
When they serve me my coffee, can I be sure that there won't be something crawling around in it?
No.
Are they social distancing?
No.
Were they social distancing at peak pandemic?
No.
Would I see this restaurant on Food Network?
No.
All right, so this place sounds god awful, man.
It's a Southern thing, man. You just gotta experience it.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, May 10th. Happy Wedgie Day, everybody. We got the whole team here to celebrate. I'm J.E. Skeets, along with Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got the Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! The International Man of Mystery, take it to the Max Lielis.
Friends.
And last but not least, making the magic happen here on Wedgie Day, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button, leave your comments, and if you haven't already, please subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email us your questions and comments for this week's Beach Stepping Podcast. Get them in, nodunks@theathletic.com, or you can tweet them in, @NoDunksInc. We got NBA weekend winners and losers to tackle here on this Monday podcast. But yeah, first things first, another wedgie over the weekend gets us to number 48. Oh, it was a Blazers game, yeah? Lamar Hurd, take it away, my man.
Bound to Cantor, his seventh. Oh, Simons quick behind the back, loses it. Now it's Murray.
Get it into the body. Simons! Lamar Hurd! Come on.
Now this one deserves bonus points. No dunks, crew. You got to put bonus points on this one because this is the block, the stop, into the wedgie. This is coming from the slam dunk champ. You got to get some extra credit for this one. Anthony Simons going up high after the turnover, saving 2 points for his team.
I think it's fair to say, Lamar, we have seen every species of wedgie.
Oh my goodness, I love it. Lamar Hurd wants bonus points on that one. He wants to count it for two, but we can't do that. No, it's just one. Wedgie 48, though. On Wedgie Day, we're celebrating one from the weekend. You love to see it. So two more to go till that magical number 50. We're still hoping to set the all-time record. And it's a big day here. I mean, again, Wedgie Day, we call it Wedgie Day because it was the first time ever a couple years ago where we got that 50th one. It was Marcus Smart coming through. Well, at 12 p.m. Eastern, noon Eastern here today, a limited release, not going to be many of these, probably just 50 of the Wedgie t-shirts for sale at nodunks.com. Again, they go live for sale at noon Eastern over at nodunks.com or breakingtee.com/nodunks. So go grab yourself a sweet, sweet Wedgie shirt there made, with partnership there from the Wedgie Tracker himself, Ricardo. So pretty cool. So go get those at noon. I know a lot of you have been asking, when can I get these things? When do they go up for sale? Well, now you know. All right.
A back print? These guys are crazy, man. Look at these guys putting stuff on the front and the back. That's why you got to get it. The limited release, 55 times 10. Skeets, that equals 50.
It's
meant to be, man.
That's meant to be. That's exactly right. Lee, how long will these last? 50 seconds? 50 minutes? What do you think?
I'll be shocked if they're not gone by 12:01 p.m.
Oh, wow.
I just can't believe people wouldn't want to get their hands on one of these. Limited edition. It's always great to get something limited edition. So go out there, buy it, wear it proudly. I'm wearing a throwback today.
Yeah, nice.
For the day, for the in honor of May 10th. So, yeah, it's a great day. Celebrate. Enjoy it.
And, great day. Give somebody you love a wedgie today.
That's right.
Calling them all kinds of species of wedgies.
I mean,
that's great. I like it. I like the addition.
Again, the Blazers broadcast with the Wedgie Whisperer, Lamar Hurd. How many has he been around for? It's something. It's like
so
nine
many.
Or ten. I don't know what it is at this point. It's on the website. Go to wedgietracker.com.
He's incredible. Just making us a part of the broadcast. What an honor. He just throws us in there every single time. And also reminding me that Anthony Simons won the slam dunk contest.
Yes.
That happened this year.
That was this year. Yeah.
Yeah, weird.
That was a thing that happened in this weird, weird NBA season. All right, well,
there's going to be another Blazers wedgie. I think Anthony Simons should jump up and kiss the wedgie while it's up there. We saw him kiss the rim in the dunk contest, then grab it on the way down. Come on.
Oh, especially if it was the 50th one or the record-breaking one. That would be amazing. And then, like,
pass the word along, Lamar.
And then, like, we take that ball, put it in the Hall of Fame, and, like, his lip marks are... Yeah, okay, this is... okay, NBA weekend winners and losers. Let's get into it, because we always have a long show here on Monday, because lots to talk about as we catch up on the NBA. And we got one more week of the regular season here, which is really fun. So, Tass, why don't you get us started? Who's your big winner of the NBA weekend?
Well, I got to start with the Los Angeles Lakers. They are looking like the champs again. The seventh-seeded Los Angeles Lakers just came out and absolutely obliterated the second-seeded Phoenix Suns on Sunday. Anthony Davis now looks like his usual all-NBA self all of a sudden. It's like they flipped the switch. It really is like the Lakers just decided, okay, we are now the favorites, even though we are the seventh seed. Anthony Davis came out and was the best player on the basketball floor, even though Chris Paul and Devin Booker are on the other side. He's literally unstoppable against that Phoenix Suns front line. They just have so many problems. Now, it would be different if they face off against the Utah Jazz in the first round. I'm looking ahead here because the Lakers are trying to figure out a way to get out of the play-in tournament and avoid the Jazz and the Suns and play somebody like the Clippers or the Nuggets. But Anthony Davis coming back and showing that he is like the guy who was favored to be the finals MVP through two games last year, looking like that guy, 42 points, 12 boards, three blocks, three steals. And I think they are the favorites in the Western Conference, and they still don't have LeBron James back. And I say they're the winners of the weekend. I say they are the favorite in the West because it sure sounds like LeBron will be back very, very soon. They've got four games left. I'm not sure if he comes back for the next game against the Knicks, but I'm going to say that the Lakers are going to get out of the play-in tournament and are going to finish sixth, even though they're a game back of the Blazers, actually two games back in reality because they don't hold the tiebreak. So they're going to have to be two games better than the Blazers with only four games remaining. But the Blazers have a real tough schedule. The Lakers, if they flip the switch and look like this with their easy schedule of the Knicks, that's a tough one, but it's still at home. And then the Rockets, Pelicans, and Pacers versus the Blazers, who have the Jazz, Suns, Nuggets, plus an easy one in the Rockets. You know, the Lakers go 3-1, Blazers go 1-3 or 4-0 and 2-2, and the Lakers get in. I think that's going to happen because I think the Lakers know. They just know how to do it. They just know how to flip it, and they're ready to get going here, and they want to get the heck out of the play-in tournament. And I think there's a legitimate chance that that happens. And the way they're playing with the best defense in the NBA, which is easy to forget. It's easy to forget for me, but you watch them out there and how they scrap and fight against the Phoenix Suns guards. They're really, really good. And they have a lot of cohesion on both ends. So, yeah, I think the Lakers are totally, entirely legit, and they should be the favorites, even though they're going to be on the road for every single series.
It is so weird. I can't wrap my head around a possible seventh seed being the favorites in the Western Conference, but I'm sort of with you. Despite the Blazers picking up the big win on Friday night against the Lakers, that was huge for the tiebreaker reason, so maybe they do hold on to it. They're going to need one really good victory, it sounds like, Tass. Like you said, they should win that last one. Who was it against? The Rockets, I guess it was.
Yeah, it's their next game, the Rockets, even though I threw it at the end. But yes, okay. Yeah. So they should get one easy one.
They have to win a tough one.
But they might get a break with the Suns because the Suns are virtually locked into that number two spot now in the West. Now, they can still get number one, but they can't drop to number three, really. So if the Suns decide perhaps before that last game of the season that they maybe rest some of their guys, then the Blazers could pick up a victory there, the cheap one.
The Lakers have an entire week off with the play-in tournament.
But
that's
the other
part
teams
here.
Do, you know? Maybe it's like,
no,
you know,
I know
what?
But I don't want to play the Lakers in the first round.
No,
I want to get the number one seed. And I don't want to be the second seed if the Lakers are going to be the seventh seed coming out of
just
the play-in.
Two games back of Utah with only four to play. Mm-hmm. They basically have to run the table, the Suns, and the Jazz have to completely fall apart. So I just think it's unlikely. And so the Suns certainly are in that position where it's like, you know what? Maybe we just want that extra. Maybe they don't. But, you know, that's what teams tend to do at this stage of the season.
I think that's a good point. They could definitely lay an egg there. But even if the Blazers go 2-2 and lose to the Jazz or the Nuggets, the Jazz also don't want to see the Lakers in the first round. So they want to beat the Blazers and push them down to the play-in tournament. The Lakers can go 4-0 and be in if the Blazers go 2-2. So that's real. It's legit. So this last week, I should say, is It's going to be entertaining for those reasons, but also a bunch of good games, also a bunch of races that we'll get to.
Oh, my God, I know. I still can't believe this is the final week of the regular season, Trey. Like, I don't know. It just felt like this will never end for some reason. We've just been talking about basketball for, like 2 straight years, it feels like, at least. I know we did have some breaks there, but they weren't that long. But, yeah, what did you think about AD's dominant performance there, TK?
I mean, Tass said it. He's back! Anthony Davis, when he's got the jumper going, there's no way you can stop him if you're a standard big guy, which unfortunately for a bunch of the best teams in the Western Conference, they've got a standard big guy, whether it be Rudy Gobert or DeAndre Ayton, as we saw yesterday with the Suns, who was just in foul trouble for most of the game because he can't stick with AD. AD's the biggest matchup problem in basketball right now because he's got the speed outside to be able to get to the hoop. He's got the quickness off his feet to get to the offensive rebounds, and he can still obviously score inside. When he's got the jumper going, that was the thing in the finals that had him looking like a finals MVP because he was shooting like 50% from mid-range, close to 40 from three if I'm not mistaken. He was just knocking down shots. It felt automatic. That hasn't necessarily been the case since he returned from injury, but he had the jumper going over the weekend, which is humongous because it stretches out the big guys and it forces the Lakers opponent to play Lakers style basketball. When you're playing Lakers style basketball, that's going to be a problem because AD, the George Mikan of our generation, nobody can stick him. The Lakers now have wins over the Nuggets and Suns without LeBron. That's got to be a little bit encouraging heading into the playoffs, especially considering AD seems to be peaking right now.
Tass, we got our weird Brooklyn Nets bet in the Eastern Conference. Would you the same thing with the Lakers in the Western Conference?
Double or nothing.
I will just because it's fun to say double or nothing.
I don't want to do it. I was just curious. Oh. You would take the Lakers, I assume, though. You think it's going to be Lakers Nets in the
finals? Yeah, last week I was comfortable taking the field against the Lakers, but yeah. For sure. But they are one of those teams. I think it's proven now that can flip it. And I guess champs can do that. I think they've totally flipped the switch and are ready to go. And I know LeBron is laying in the weeds, getting right, and came back a little too early by his standards for his liking, and is going to come back and be just as good. Like, the Lakers look like they can battle anybody right now if Anthony Davis is going to play this way. Two great games back-to-back, wasn't just one, 36 and then 42 over the weekend. And then add LeBron. Yeah, I would. Maybe if it wasn't, like, if it was the first bet, like, if we didn't have that Nets as the backup, maybe not. But I still think they are the favorites. And, yeah, the words double or nothing are just super fun. So, yeah.
Let me think it over. Maybe we can still make this happen. We got a little bit of time. But, Lee, let's go to you. NBA winner of the weekend for you.
Well, this one I was really excited about until I saw the news that Bradley Beal is not going to play tonight in Atlanta. He tweaked his hamstring in Saturday night's victory over the Indiana Pacers. He went for 50, but he's out with a hamstring strain. And with 4 games to go, he's about 60 points behind Steph Curry in the scoring leader spot. But, you know, a hamstring strain is very, very difficult to know. Beal might not play the rest of this regular season because they're going to need him in the playoffs. And he's got a game tonight, then a game on Wednesday against the Hawks. So, yeah, it seems like it's actually done. And Steph Curry will be the scoring champ this year. But it's been a great race. It's been fun, actually, to see these guys. And Beal went for 50 on Saturday night. And then Steph Curry went out and had 49. He could have broken Wilt on Saturday night if he really wanted to against the Thunder. They were pathetic. And he was incredible. But, you know, he only had 29 minutes and he hit 11 threes. So he was great. So it's pretty much done now because I figure Beal, let's say he does come back for the final 3 games, he would need, I sort of was working out the math, he needs to go for about 45 a game and hope Steph goes for only about 25 a game.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, not going to happen. So Steph is going to win the scoring title and he is going to become the first player in history to have more 3-pointers made than 2-pointers made and lead the league in scoring because he's about 25 up, I think, now in terms of threes made. So that's kind of cool, you know? It's kind of cool that he's got that record. Maybe no one else cares about it, but I just thought it's kind of interesting. And I wonder how long that will be until something like that becomes the norm, where the leading scorer, you know, hits more threes than twos because that's just the way the game's going. So, yeah, shout out to Bradley Beal, you know, going for 50. A Saturday night's game was actually an incredibly fun game there. Yeah. Westbrook, another triple-double, a game-winning block shot for Westbrook as well there. Some fantastic stuff. But unfortunately, the race is over. But it's clear that this wasn't just like, you know, Steph Curry wasn't just sort of going out there and playing his game. He wanted to win this scoring title. He talked about it and he noticed Beal went for 50. And so it's great to have these two guys going for it. So unfortunately, like I say, I think it's over, but it's been kind of fun watching it. And our friend NBA Bo Estes has been really keeping us up to date to about the fourth or fifth decimal point on that scoring rate for yes, a while. But
very specific.
But yeah, I think Steph's pretty much wrapped it up now.
So your winner of the weekend was this duel between Beal yes. and Curry, but unfortunately now with the Beal injury, it's you didn't want to change it. Why would Lee Ellis change it? I mean, it was already in the document.
Beal's got the Hawks twice. Fine. He's got the Hawks twice and the Cavs and the Hornets. So it's like, you know, he could go for another big 45 or 50 for a couple of point games there, but just don't think it's going to happen because the Wizards really do have to look at what could happen here. They're going to make the play-in tournament and they need him healthy rather than chase the scoring title. So we'll see. Maybe not. Maybe it is just a rest tonight and he's back on Wednesday. But hamstrings, very, very hard to know exactly how long. Because, I mean, what, Harden was only out for supposedly a couple of games, Durant as well, and then they've both been out for about a month or so. So that's actually the bad, you know, the worst case scenario is Beal may be done for the season if he can't get over it.
But don't say that. Don't say that. Yeah. Are you excited about, I mean, Tass says that, yeah, the Lakers, they technically, of course, could still get out of the play-in tournament, but they very well could be the seventh seed and could be playing the Warriors in a play-in game. LeBron James versus Steph Curry in at least that game, win and you're in scenario. Is this like awesome for the league or actually sort of bad for the league? Because I guess in theory you could still get both of those teams into the playoffs. You know, the loser would still get another chance to then be the 8th seed. But good or bad, Lele, you know, Curry versus LeBron in a huge play-in game. What do you think? I mean, I ask because it could be bad because you'd like them both in the playoffs probably.
Yeah, of course you would for the TV, right? TV purposes. But for this game, this is perfect. You know, they've both had sort of, you know, bad seasons by their standards in terms of the Warriors, you know, never really got it going. LeBron was going great and then they've really fallen apart. To see them battle, this gives pretty much the maximum power punch to the play-in tournament, which is really, I think, what the NBA wants. If you are going to, if you want this to last and you want it to continue, then you're going to have people talking about it straight away. So I think it's great. And obviously, I think for going forward, they would rather the Lakers because LeBron is just a bigger draw card and it's the Lakers in the playoffs. But if you can get hype going into the playoffs with these two going at each other and potentially face, you know, Steph going for 50 and LeBron having a huge game as well, I mean, that's awesome for the league because, you know, it's at times there's been so many games this season. It's been such a compact schedule with just game after game after game. Finally, you're going to have a game that actually means something between two of the biggest stars in the league.
Yeah, what would be the over-under for Curry's points in that game versus the Lakers, TK, in a play-in game? Like, I think I'd have the Lakers winning it if everybody's healthy, but I mean, I think Curry will just go out guns blazing here. Like, he literally could attempt 25 to 30 threes, and it might be their best strategy to win. Yeah.
As Tass said, the Lakers have the best defense in the game. They've got some guards who like to get out after it on the perimeter, so 39.5? Is that an over-under? Do you think Steph Curry will score 40 in the play-in tournament? He probably would. I would say 7-8, ideal for Lakers and Warriors from the league's perspective. 9-10 would be a disaster.
Yes,
if they're playing and one of them is out instantly, that would be bad. But right now, you've got a guaranteed LeBron versus Steph in one game and then LeBron or Steph in the next game. That's great stuff right there. We had a question not too long ago about what sort of award would you like to add to the league, something that doesn't exist right now that should. They should do something more for the scoring title. You know, in baseball, they give like the best hitter at every position, they get the Silver Slugger Award. Right. Whoever wins the scoring title should get like a silver basketball or something. It should be more than just, you know, a bold name on Basketball Reference. This should be something that is actually honored. You're supposed to score points to win games in basketball. So they should do something to actually honor the guys who are the scoring leader.
So what, you'd just like to see a trophy of some sort or something like that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, mail them a patch to put on their letter jacket or something like that. I don't know. They got to do something. Maybe you get a little star the next year, the current scoring leader guy. Somebody on Twitter was suggesting that they should change the NBA logo every year for whoever leads the league in scoring. I think that's a bit too far, but you got to do something. Give them like a cool crown, the scoring champ. I don't know what it is.
All right.
There's got to be something because this is exciting to actually watch two guys literally care about winning the scoring title. It seems to be over most of the time, most seasons, right? Like Harden will be way ahead or Kevin Durant was way ahead back in the day. But when it comes to a race like this, it's actually fun to watch.
It's
Totally. I agree with at least a trophy of some sort. I even saw that somebody that I had never heard of won the Silver Slugger at his position last year, and I've already forgotten his name because I forget most of my baseball facts. But that's an award for every position in baseball, where, you know, the best hitting catcher gets his Silver Slugger. Is it in either league, too? Are there two Silver Sluggers at every position?
No clue.
That's a good question.
I don't know. Is. But anyway.
You think a catcher in the National League and a catcher in the American League get the Silver Slugger Award for being the best hitter at their position? Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of awards.
But look,
a lot of awards.
The Molina brothers, isn't there like
no, they're not
Molinas?
Hitters, man. They're not hitters. They're defenders.
But aren't they catchers? Like,
they're catchers. Yeah, but you have to be a good hitting. Yeah, they're not great hitting catchers.
Oh, okay.
They're in there to block balls, to call games.
That's right.
You're thinking gold gloves there. That's for defense.
Like, right.
Yeah, Silver Slugger. But yeah, somebody give Steph the frickin' award, because watching those 49 points on Saturday, that was phenomenal. 11 threes that he hit. 5 of them were from 30 feet plus. Like, he was just stepping back. So almost half his threes were at 30 feet, and they were just going down. Like, Lee was, you know, joking that he could have scored 100 that night. He just had it going. And yeah, the Lakers defenders, like, if they're playing him, they're not going to let that happen. And OKC was letting shots go. But yeah, they're letting a guy shoot from 5 feet behind the line. It's because, you know, you kind of have to, you know, start your defense somewhere. If you're going to guard from 30 plus feet, he is going to be able to score from 2-point line. He is, you know, has adapted that part of his game. So he's lethal on both sides and both parts of the floor. But man, watching that, that was something. Like, he had, you know, one corner three, and then everything else above the break and beyond. I mean, they were so far out.
Trey, who's your winner of the NBA weekend?
Well, there was just one game over the weekend for the Grizzlies, but Jonas Valanciunas had it circled on his calendar. JD, roll that beautiful beef footage.
Jonas Valanciunas had 21 rebounds.
That's a lot of roast beef.
Revenge is a dish best served beef.
No dunks. We love roast beef. Which is rebounds.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Tasty. Revenge beef. Fourth beef of the season for Jonas Valanciunas, tied for the second most. More importantly, however, his second big beef of the season against the Raptors.
Wow.
I love it. Toronto decided not to give him a ring, so Jonas said, I'm getting 20 plus boards on you every time we play. I love it. A petty beef. Also got a great quote from Nick Nurse talking about Jonas Valanciunas. Nurse tells a story. This comes from us from Josh Lewenberg, JLew1050 on Twitter, connected with the Raptors there. Nurse tells a story about going fishing with Jonas Valanciunas in Lithuania one time. Quote Nick Nurse, I have never seen a guy so happy when he was reeling in a fish. So intense, so excited. I just told him, next year when we're out on the floor, I'm going to tell you to rebound like it's a fish. I'm going to tell you to rebound like it's a fish. Go out there, rip that lip right out of the water. Unfortunately for Nick Nurse, it has totally backfired. Yes, they got the title, but now they're having to suffer through Jonas Valanciunas beefing in their faces every single time the two of them meet in a game.
Can you buy onion rings at Arby's?
I
would assume so.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming
curly fries.
No rings. Oh. No championship rings, but...
But a bunch of Arby's onion rings, if you can buy them there. Yeah,
that's right.
It's a good question. Curly fries definitely are the prized possession, just like Jonas grabbing a fish. Arby's, best thing as a side, curly fries for sure. I can't even think of it.
I don't know. It just feels like a place like Arby's sells onion rings. I mean, they got the oil. Just drop them in there, man. Get to work. But
Arby's, we got the oil.
It's already hot.
They do have them? You said you checked?
Yeah, oh, onion petals. Somebody's saying onion petals. Like they have the bloomer, the blooming onion.
Interesting. It looks like in Arby's Canada has steakhouse onion rings. Maybe here in the United States, it's just petals.
What? Wow.
Wow.
That's weird. Wow.
Yeah, somebody go to a Canadian Arby's and check in. Maybe this is the whole point. Jonas Valanciunas is like, I want my petals.
Your petals are going to be delivered. Okay, so... And, I'm out of Jonas Beef. Do you have the leaderboard right now for Big Beef's? Who still has it? Is it Capella?
It's Capella and Gobert. Okay. Both currently have 5. Jonas and Cantor have 4.
Wow.
At this point.
See, Lee, you're watching the scoring race, but TK's got his eyes on the Big Beef rebounding race. Still a week to decide this if somebody wants to go get it.
Does this carry over to the playoffs, though, Trey? I guess it does. I mean, why not?
I think it's got to, because Bill Russell has one of the all-time great beef games. He had a 41 rebound game, and that came in Game 7 of the finals. Mm. So got to go deep.
Okay. Mm. Okay, this will continue in the playoffs. All right, I got a few other winners from the weekend. You sort of slipped it in there, Lili. Russell Westbrook has to be. Oh, boy. Was that a truck or a leaf blower or what's going on? Who is that?
I think it was me. It seemed like it was me. Perhaps garbage is coming by? Not sure, but something was in overdrive here. Yeah. In the parking lot. I don't know what's going on.
It was a little wild sounding. You said Russell Westbrook, Lili. He's one of my winners of the weekend for sure. That Saturday game was amazing. It's the Wizards' 15th win in their last 19 games. He goes for 33 points, 19 boards, 15 assists. Career triple-double, 181. He's tied with Oscar Robertson. He will set it tonight here in Atlanta. There is no doubt, down at the Fortress. I'll go back to you, Mr. Vegas. TK, what's the over-under of minutes into this game that he sets it? Mm. No Beal. I mean, does he do it in the first half? Hell, does he do it in the first quarter, which he's probably almost done before.
Interesting.
It's got to be first half, I think. I think he'll have it.
I'll go second half. I think it happens in the second half, in the third quarter. Okay. Will they stop the game? That's the question, Skeetsy. Will they stop the game? And should we go? We were there to see Vince Carter's 25,000th career point. Oh, we could be there to see the record-breaking Russell Westbrook triple-double.
Yeah, no, we shouldn't. I'm not going to go, but it's crossed my mind. That's history. That to me is a cool stat that will be talked about. Now, people have obviously their own opinions on it and the inflation of it all. Just like Oscars back in the day with a million missed shots and all that. Wasn't that impressive? Blah, blah, blah. Who cares? It's still awesome that somebody's going to beat Oscar Robertson's triple-double record. And we said it not too long ago. I forget what the question was, but it'll be the first thing you think of with Westbrook. When he's talked about 20, 30, 40 years from now, it'll be the triple-double king, basically. Unless, Jokic or Luka Doncic or somebody else ends up somehow passing Russell Westbrook. Because Fred Katz had some crazy stats about this. 5 years ago, Westbrook only, I throw that in air quotes, had 37 triple-doubles over 8 NBA seasons. And now here he is at 181. That was 5 years ago. That's how many he's racked up in these last 5 years. And this one blew my mind. Again, Fred Katz on the Boulevard. Quote, the player who is now the NBA's co-leader in triple-doubles has played 13 pro seasons, yet more than 11% of his triple-doubles have come in the last 6 weeks.
What?
I thought it was a typo. No. In the last 6 weeks, 11% of this guy's triple-doubles have come. That is an unbelievable statistic there from Katz. And, Lee, he hit the game-winning free throws in overtime in a huge game. They're up to ninth now, the Wizards are. And then he blocked Caris LeVert's 3 at the buzzer there, which was pretty damn cool, too. I love it. We've talked about Westbrook for so long on this show, TK, TAS especially, back even when the Basketball Jones days. It's just funny to see people, they just flip-flop on Russell Westbrook from, it feels like game to game, week to week, month to month, season to season of your opinion on him. But this is special. We've always, I feel like with this show, been pro Westbrook, maybe more than some. And he's got his limitations. Don't get me wrong. He gets caught up in weird pissing contest in games. Lee, I know you've brought that up before. He makes questionable choices at the end of games at times. You're like, oh, well, that's a weird shot to take. But my God, does the guy just play harder than everybody else out there every game? I mean, that's it. That's that'll be the second thing I think of when I think of Westbrook after the triple-double crown. It's like, oh, yeah, that guy played harder than anybody. He just did. And again, he made some dumb mistakes at times. But my God, you can't discredit his effort, Lili. That's for damn sure.
No, and especially because he was so resilient in his early career. Like, he didn't miss a game, remember, from high school, college, and the NBA. And then I think it was when Patrick Beverley sort of collided into him. That was when it sort of, he first missed games. And then in the last few years, you know, even this season, you know, he wasn't playing in back-to-backs early on because of the load management. So you wondered if that would perhaps just slow down, you know, the way that he chased after the rebounds and ran the ball up the court. But instead, it's working for him because he looks so energetic. Like, that block shot on Saturday night, at the end of overtime, he's put up a huge game, and he still had the energy to not just block the shot, but then cheer and celebrate afterwards. Like, he's incredible like that. And, yeah, he's not a perfect player, of course, and his biggest weakness in the past has been basically teams have said, we'll allow you to sort of beat yourself by taking bad shots and taking these, you know, these silly sort of pissing contests he gets into against the opponents. But you just cannot discredit how hard he works and how motivated he is to go out there because, you know, yes, he has his stat pats at times, but he still plays at an incredibly high level with that energy every single night. And he goes out there and, you know, tries to win, and he puts it all on the line. So that ultimately is what it comes down to, is the fact that, you know, he's out there competing and doing everything he can to win. At times it's backfired on him, but for the most part, he's doing everything he can for his team. And you have to admire and respect that about him.
Yeah, Tass, you think he's a first half triple-double tonight or a second half here versus the Bucks? Here we're getting in, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to go for it real hard tonight.
Yeah, so
it'll probably happen in the first half. Yeah, especially with... you know, him and Raul Neto will be the only ball handlers without Brad in there, without Beal. Yeah, I think it's his.
And what do you think they'll do? You think they stop the game?
I don't think so. Just because we're talking about it, I don't think so. Like, I just can't think of another scenario where it really happens on a list like this. Like, we talked about the scoring records, and yeah, they stopped it for Kobe when he passed MJ, but I don't know. I mean, it is history, but I don't know. I lean no, I guess. I don't know why.
Okay. I think they absolutely should. I'm not saying, yeah, we're taking a 20-minute break here, but there should be a little video package that the NBA either whips together or something that it's celebrated right there in the moment. Or in the first timeout, I guess, after he acquires the 10th rebound, 10th pointer, 10th assist, or whatever.
For sure. Well, Freddie Katz will be celebrating it. Follow along, Fred Katz. That guy's got every single stat in the book. Him and David Aldridge. A couple articles on Russ making it happen on Saturday night. Really good read. So follow Freddie Katz on the Boulevard.
Oh, God. I can't wait for the Magic Johnson tweet about it. It's 100% coming, right?
I think he's going to list every triple-double Westbrook has had.
Maybe.
Yeah, triple-double on this day and this day and this day.
All right.
Also great in that Fred Katz article, or actually this one might have been a David Aldridge. I don't remember. I was just reading about triple-doubles. The previous Wizards/Bullets record for triple-doubles was 15. That was a short-lived record once Westbrook took over there in Washington.
Was it Chris Webber?
No, Darryl Walker.
Yeah.
Walker. Wow. Yeah, not for career triple doubles, not just in one season, but career. Darryl Walker, 15. Former Raptors head coach, 15.
Yeah, right. All right, another winner of the weekend to the Knicks. I want to show them some love. They always come up here on Mondays now, though. Huge win on Sunday against Clippers at the Staples Center. And it allowed the Knicks to remain in fourth place in the East by themselves. They're one game ahead of the Hawks and the Heat. Could also give the Miami Heat a winner of the weekend, but I think we'll do the opposite and shit on the Beantown boys in a second here. But this was maybe the Knicks' best win of the season. And I say that because the Knicks usually do not play all that well when Julius Randle struggles. And they were throwing doubles at him. He didn't have an incredible game scoring the ball. He did everything else, rebounding and setting up guys and stuff like that. But it was Derrick Rose off the bench, Lely, 25. Reggie Bullock added 24. And they get this victory. Clips came... made it closer when Kawhi got back in there, and it was like Kawhi and Paul George are there going just basically trading buckets. But the Knicks, man, holding on for dear life here to that fourth seed, and they, of course, I think need it to advance to the second round. I think they need home court advantage against like a Hawks or a Heat or whoever, and they definitely don't want to be the sixth seed or something like that, slipping all the way down there, and I don't like their chances then to come out of a first round. But they are just playing so damn tough. And again, Derrick Rose. Like, we just keep talking about these guys like Westbrook super late into his career. And now here's Rose hitting pull-ups and floaters and getting to the rim. Hit two big threes in the fourth there to help cement the victory for the Knicks. So they're a winner of the weekend for me. People sort of keep you know, you keep doubting them or you keep waiting for them to sort of like fall back to earth, and they just sort of keep gritting out these wins on their tips there. I guess helping his chances for a coach of the year probably still goes to Quinn Snyder or Monty Williams, but my God, I can't wait to have the Knicks in the playoffs. I just really can't. I mean, I'm excited that they'll be playing, again, like a Hawks or a Heat or somebody in the first round. What do you think of D. Rose, though, Lili? Anything to add?
Yeah, well, talking about, you know, we've sort of said Nate McMillan making a charge for Coach of the Year. I mean, Derrick Rose, if he was playing like this the entire season, he would be a lock for six man. I think he probably still gets a handful of votes, too, you know, because Jordan Clarkson has cooled off. And Rose is not just scoring, like he's running that offense and he's very mixing up his game, like, because he's never been a great shooter of the ball. But now he's so much more confident in that mid-range. And, you know, you talk about we're sort of waiting for the Knicks to fall off, because this has been a tough road trip. They had Denver and Phoenix, and they've got the Lakers next, so they're not done
they're
yet.
They're 3-2 on this six-game road trip out west, which is really good, of course.
Yeah, so that's a huge bonus for them to go back at minimum 500, potentially better than that, although, you know, I think there's people saying as well that LeBron is definitely coming back tomorrow night against the against the Knicks. So, but yeah, it's quite incredible, because Derrick Rose was in Detroit this season, and it was just like a complete waste. He went back to the Knicks, he went back to Tibbs, and it's like, well, this is what Tibbs does. He brings back his guys, but he's really embraced that role, and he's, you know, he's accepted that he's no longer a starting point guard in this league. He's a bench player, and he's really playing well in that role. So, you know, good on him.
Final one here. I know this is about usually like the weekend we just had that we sort of designate a winner to or a loser, but I want to give a winner of the weekend to this coming weekend, to Sunday. Yeah, I'm looking ahead, guys, because Shams was tweeting. Now, I don't know if this is official from the NBA yet, but Shams says, for the NBA's final day of the regular season on May 16th, that's a Sunday, all 30 teams, there'll be 15 games, will be played in the afternoon starting between 12 and 3:30 p.m. Eastern. TK, every team will be playing in this, like, you know, 3.5 hour window here. So there's no funny business, right? When it comes when it comes to the races and the play-ins and who's in, who's out, and who's your opponent and stuff like that. In theory, that at least diminishes some weird results after the fact if you already know what happened in a game prior. If you know what I'm getting at here.
Yeah, exactly right. And I don't know. I was going through the schedule looking at literally where these teams are going to be playing geographically to break down their time zones. We might see some weird results on that very last day, because the West Coast teams are going to be starting early. We're talking 12:30 local time on a Sunday at the latest for some of these teams that are playing on the West Coast. Those could be weird games, especially, you know, if some sort of, you know, if a 4 or 5 seed is already decided, who are they rolling out there, rolling out of bed? Hey, go play some basketball. Why not? But yeah, it'll make for an exciting weekend on Saturday and Sunday, no doubt.
Yeah, Lee, don't they do this stuff in like the Premier League and stuff like that when it comes to these important last games, right?
Yeah, the last day of the season, usually everyone kicks off at 3 o'clock Eastern, so that you can't do it. But I think the NBA tends to do this sort of on the last day of the season
on Wednesday night, when it usually is a normal season. There are similar things. Yeah, I think it'll be because it's on this Sunday in the afternoon. We'll make this pretty
it'll be
weird.
Wild. Yeah, so it's just going to be interesting to see, you know, which teams are like, well, we can't move up or down, and are we resting? And as we sort of talked about earlier, if you've got a week off anyway, is there any point in resting? You just want to keep your guys playing together. So it's pretty exciting. I mean, this is good for the NBA that they have this sort of format at the end on a Sunday, and we know that all sorts of things could change in the standings, and I think it's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, we'll throw this up right now. Here's the playoff picture as of Monday morning. Nothing had changed from Sunday. I've been tweeting this out every morning here just to give the, like, a sort of the Coles notes, if you will. You guys call them Coles notes? I can never remember. Is that a Canadian
Cliff
thing?
Notes.
Cliff notes, yeah.
Spark
that's right.
notes, perhaps.
Yes, that's right. But here it is. We're showing you the playoff picture, including the play-in tournament teams right now in the matchups. You see the Wizards there ahead of the Pacers, which is wild. And a few of the other teams, which we're going to address in a second here. Losers of the weekend. And who wants to get us started? Trey, why don't we go with you first? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, I think I'm a good place to start, because it was an ugly weekend for the Beantown boys. They went 0-2 over the weekend, and both of the losses were their own brand of disappointing. They got smoked by the Bulls on Friday night. You're probably wondering, why aren't the Bulls winners of the weekend? They did go 2-0, making a hard playoff push, But I'm waiting for them to be winners of the weekend, for the Bulls to be back, till they finally lock down that elusive four-game win streak. They've won three in a row, haven't won four in a row since the 17-18 season. But they got the Nets on Tuesday. Gonna take them down. That'll be four straight. Nonetheless, let's talk about the Beantown boys. They did get beat by the Bulls on Friday, and I'm not sure which is worse. Ugh. They gave up 121 points, and they scored 99. Either one of those is a bad matchup for the Celtics against the Bulls. Bulls have been better on defense than you probably think this year, but the Celtics scored 50 points between Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier on Friday. The rest of Boston went for 49. Jason Tatum, 3 of 19 for 9 points in the loss. Kemba made 6 threes. The rest of Boston went 5 of 26. This was ugly. This was a bad loss for the Celtics, but they came into that game Friday in 6th place, ahead of Miami for the play-in. The loss to the Bulls pushes the Beantown boys back to number 7, but they got the Heat on Sunday. All good. Chance to get out of the play-in tournament, win the season tiebreaker over Miami. Mm-hmm. Instead, Boston gave up 79 points in the first half to the Heat. Heat are a bottom 10 offensive team, but they caught fire, hit 11 threes in the first half. The Celtics, no juice, no energy. They allowed 70 or more points and a half three times over their past 5 games. Portland had 71. The Blazers had 77. And, of course, Miami 79 on Sunday. Boston made it interesting in the second half, but the deficit just a little bit too big. So Miami takes the win and 6th place and ties things up in the season series. Heat now have a 2-game lead over Boston for 6th place in the Eastern Conference. They play again tomorrow to determine who gets the tiebreaker. That's a must-win game for Boston if they're hoping to get out of the play-in tournament, and they need to get out of the play-in tournament because it would not be surprising to me to see the Celtics finish 7th, have two straight-up stinkers in the play-in tournament, and they don't even make the playoffs. This team has been so inconsistent this year. They just don't have the effort every single night. They don't have the personnel to really turn things up defensively. It doesn't feel like Robert Williams missed the second half of yesterday's game with a turf toe injury. I think he is almost their most important player just because he's somebody that can hold it down in the middle a little bit, but an ugly weekend for the Celtics, and it could get worse in the next week and a half here.
Yeah, Tess, what do you think about the Beantown boys? Like TK said, I mean, holy crap, what an up and down season. Like, we're like, oh, they're garbage. Then they sort of get a good, you know, piece it together. We're like, okay, they're back. Here they come. And then now just the opposite again. They are playing poorly at the wrong time.
I'll never say that a team needs more than 72 games to get it together, but if there is a team, it's the Boston Celtics. They need 10 more games on the schedule to try and figure it out, because the way they're looking, there's no chance that they survive even the play-in tournament. I just don't think that there's any real hope. And they look particularly bad against the Miami Heat Sunday and then again tomorrow when they play them on Tuesday, because the Heat just move so much without the ball. And the Celtics just don't have it within them to cover the three-point line like that. And the Heat are looking like a little bit like that team that was in the bubble last year, that had all that movement, all the weapons, and the Celtics says it's not good watching them play that kind of team. And you know, there's lots of excuses, lots of reasons and excuses for the Celtics not to be good this season. But yeah, the effort is not a reason. Daniel Tice leaving actually did hurt them. Yeah, now Robert Williams out. They're getting thinner, and the effort isn't getting any better. And Jaylen Brown not being 100%. So. Starting to lose faith in all the Beantown boys and everything Beantown related right now.
Yeah, it's been a rough week for Beans. I was going to say, too, you can make the Bucks almost a loser of the weekend lately just because the Heat are up to 6th now and look like they might be staying there. And it's like, oh my God, Milwaukee is the 3rd seed right now. Now, still, there's a ton of movement because the Heat can still go up. Bucks, in theory, could still go up and maybe catch the Nets for a second. But I mean, you talk about like facing your demons right away there if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's like, okay, well, if we are actually a title contender, we got to make up for what happened last year and just take care of business against the Heat, but not a great matchup. That's the last team I think Milwaukee would want to face, of course, in the first round. Yeah.
Well, and they actually have one more regular season game, too, in Milwaukee, the Heat and the Bucks. So that one will be interesting to see if if the Bucks decide, well, we're not going to play our guys and just like we don't want to reveal our hand because, yeah, you know that Jimmy Butler.
Oh, you're saying they may want to help the Heat even move up in the standings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's true. Try to avoid them. Because remember last week that clip we had of Jimmy Butler when it was Ira Winderman sort of saying it's a tough schedule. And you know, Jimmy's classic, like, that's tough for you because he knows the mind games can really become a factor against a team that they really punked last season in the playoffs. So that's a fascinating matchup potential we have there. I hope we get it, actually. I'd like to see it. I'd like because you want to see the Bucks. You want to see them actually, you know, go into that battle and say, like, we are a better team than last year and not be afraid of it, not try to avoid it. So a little bit of shuffling to do here. But, yeah, the Heat, Jimmy Butler is, this is his time where he's like, great, I can just be a real annoying guy to everybody. But
now's the time.
He was getting into it with Carl Anthony Towns.
Exactly, like Friday,
I guess.
You know, but he knows that's how he can give himself a little bit of an advantage if there is a talent gap between the two teams, because he loves the mind games and he loves to get into those scraps. And we know in the playoffs it's a different game. It's a grinded out game. It's a much more Miami Heat style of basketball where you have to grind out victories, and Jimmy loves that more than anybody else.
Yeah, just wants to work hard and be the man, right? It's playoff time, baby. Lee, who's your winner of the weekend? Or loser of the weekend, excuse me.
My loser of the weekend is a weak one for sure, no doubt about it. So I put the Lakers in there because I thought that game was in Phoenix last night. I thought, the Suns are going to smoke them out there last night, but they didn't. So I had to change that one. And I went with the Hornets because...
Wow, look, you had a pre-loser in there?
Jesus, man.
A pre-loser based on location?
It's not like we're doing this at 5 a.m. on Monday morning. Like, you have all of Monday morning. You're not tasked with what you need to know, man.
But the Blazers, you know, they lost to the Blazers and they would have lost to Phoenix. And it was like, anyway. The Hornets, though, last night, look, they're shorthanded right now. No, Gordon Hayward still. Miles Bridges is out and Devontae Graham's out. And they were playing against the Pelicans, who, though, they're even more shorthanded. They're no Zion, no Brandon Ingram and no Stephen Adams. And the Hornets basically led this game up until the end. And it was the fourth quarter. It was Jackson Hayes and James Johnson who really put it to the Hornets. The Hornets couldn't score. They had 14 points in that fourth quarter. And the Pelicans scored 23. And again, it wasn't as though like someone just caught fire and was hitting threes and the Hornets went like just super ice cold. It was just hustle plays from the big guys. And, you know, so that's a costly loss again with the Celtics losing, that the Hornets could have just, you know, they need home court advantage if they are in that playing tournament, which they're going to be. They're not going to, I don't think they can really get out of that situation. No, they can't. They're four games back of the Heat. So, you know, that's a crucial sort of, you know, it's a blown save. Can I say that? That's a baseball term.
Nice one. Nice one, yeah.
Because they really
the
just...
the Rolaids relief man right there.
They really just had to run out the clock.
Dennis Eckersley.
They really just had to run
Lee
out the
Smith.
Clock.
Smith.
What's the guy from the Yankees? The famous guy, not Andy Pettit. What's his
Mariano.
Name?
Mariano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Never mind.
That's the same. Isn't he the Saber guy? Anyway, I don't know. The point being, though, that, you know, this was one that the Hornets, like, you just got to close this game out.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do it. But the good news is Terry Rozier hit a garbage time three, gave himself a career high 43 points, gives me up 1 point in the stupidest bet of all time against Skeety by taking the lead by 1 point over Tim Hardaway Jr. there. But, yeah, there you go. That's my loser. It was more just like, it's honestly, it's been like three or four times now. I'm Sunday night, got my loser or winner, and then boom, the next morning I'm like,
maybe stop doing that. Maybe.
Just trying to get a head start on the day, you know, Monday morning. I've got kids going back to school. I got another one. I'm like, all right, if I've got a little booster there, but anyway.
Okay. Your bet is who's going to score 50 first, right?
No, we
switched it to say, between Tim Hardaway Jr. and Terry Rozier, who would just have the highest scoring game? But we made sure there was like a benchmark. It had to be like, what do we say, 35 plus?
I think
or something?
It was 35. Yeah.
And so Tim Hardaway Jr. goes for 42. Was that last week? Or I guess it was.
Yeah.
And
he then had the 10 threes,
Terry Rozier is at 40. Okay, great game. And then hits a stupid pointless three late to give him 43. And now I'm trailing you in this bet.
Well, I'll say one thing. At one point in this game, it was in the third quarter. He had a breakaway steal, but they called a foul, so they stopped the play. That would have given him a certain 2 points because there was no one ahead of him.
Right.
And then on the next play, I think it was PJ Washington was called for an offensive foul as he hit a three. So that one got waved off as well. Ooh. So I think in the end, I deserved that three-pointer in garbage time.
Hey, I still got a couple games left with Tim Roy Jr. Yeah. He's averaging like 27 per game here over the last couple bit, couple of games. So I got faith that he can still go. He's going to drop a 50. You watch. Tim Hardaway Jr.
Listen, we can keep it going into the playoffs too. I mean, I don't, you know, like they're both going to be there for a few extra games.
Okay, so, we'll keep it going in the playoffs. Yeah. I like that's better for me, if anything, because I'm probably get some more chances or some more bites at the apple there with Tim Hardaway.
Skeets, you hope I lose my bet with four morning poops in the stream team that Luka Doncic won't be suspended for another game. I don't think he'll be suspended. I don't think he'll get a 16th tech, but if he does, as Four Morning Poops has said, then Tim Hardaway gets a nice shot because he's had great games. He had his 42 when Luka was out, right?
Yeah, that's right, actually. Well, let's go to Luka next here. I'll go, and then Tass, you can wrap up our losers of the weekend because you got a good one there in Zion. But Luka got to get a loser of the weekend. I mean, Luka's the new Temper Boy.
Yes.
Temper Boy Luka, if you didn't see it, he got ejected on the weekend, Sunday's game, for just like straight up throwing a punch to the groin area there of Colin Sexton. Here's a big strike. Oh, now...
And a stare down.
Yeah.
Looking in his eyes.
He, fortunately for Sexton, didn't hit him like directly on the tip there or anything like that, because that would have been insane. Because he hits him more to the side, because Sexton doesn't really react unless he's got a jock strap on or something I don't know about. But anyway, Luka ejected early in the third quarter for that correctly determined flagrant foul too. Like, you can't do that. I will say Sexton didn't believe it was malicious, because he did the whole, like, it was one of those box out plays. And usually when there's like that hand checking and pushing, you punch down or you sort of swing down to like get the other guy's hand off you. Because Sexton, like, definitely, of course, bodies him up there. And it just hit him a little closer to the groin than maybe he had hoped. But still, pretty violent swing there, TK. You always get upset, and rightfully so, when guys are going for the balls for the manscaped area. And Luka did. Again, even if Sexton doesn't think it was malicious, like, pretty damn crazy there. And luckily for Tass, the flagrant 2 does not count towards the technical foul total, so that's big. Huge. He's still at 15 technical fouls, one shy of that automatic one-game suspension. But what did you think, TK?
Well, Skeets, you know I'm always wearing a cup.
Yeah, good.
So I just have to be prepared.
Mitch cup
but I don't know. This looked like a straight-up rebound chop to me. Both the donk and the sex thought it was fine afterwards. Yeah, he was just chopping at me, unfortunately. He followed through, hit me in the Mons pubis. So I think this is the right call. That is a malicious strike. It probably didn't end exactly where Doncic wanted it to end, but yikes. This is this is up there for me with Nick Batum and Juan Carlos Navarro for the most fierce looking nut punch that we've ever seen. Because in that one with Batum, he's like, coming straight for Navarro. And the way Donk kind of stares him down after it happens, you could tell that they were tussling beforehand. And he wanted to have the final word. Unfortunately, his final word was below the belt. So he gone.
Yeah, it didn't end up mattering. It actually maybe, sparked the Mavericks' bit of a run after that, actually. They ended up crushing the Cavaliers. Cavaliers have lost 10 in a row, so no big surprise there. But, yeah, Tass, you're okay. It's not a technical foul. I was wondering if Four Morning Poops was going to challenge this somehow. It's like, hey, come on, you got ejected. But, no, you're still with the 15 technical fouls.
That was a good shot right there, man. Every time I see it, and JD, if you're watching on YouTube, has done a great job of really highlighting, you know, it's slowed down so much that you just really just see the shot. And then we stop it. And then the video really sells it, I think. But he did hit him in the Amon's Schumpert pubis. Hold on. The Amon's Humpert pubis. Whatever you want to call it. And I just think it's a scenario where two guards are, you know, fighting down low, and Luka's like, come on. We don't box out. Relax, Colin Sexton. Get off me. We don't box out in today's NBA. But I got away with one because it could have been a tech. It could have, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
I mean, to really hurt a guy, why don't you give him two techs and a flagrant?
Mm.
And then he could be suspended, lose a game worth of pay as well. But it's not right there. I don't know why Luka had the puzzled stare afterwards like he usually does after a tech hits him. Like, why was he puzzled by that? I mean, I guess he didn't think he was going for the groin. He just thought he was, as you guys said, a little swim sort of action, like, get your arm off me type move.
Yeah, but man, he caught him close enough to warrant that ejection. So he was gone, but Tass is okay. And, all right, Tass, finish it off here, though. Loser of the weekend. Let's talk a little Zion, because this is crazy.
Yeah, well, Lee brought up that the Pelicans came back and won. It's totally true. They still do have a shot of making the play-in tournament, although it is unlikely. Mainly because Zion Williamson is injured, and he is out indefinitely after fracturing his ring finger on a play where he tried to get the ball and it didn't work out for him, and he left the game briefly and came back in. And so David Griffin, VP of basketball operations of the Pelicans, had a press conference about Zion Williamson and what's going on there with the way he's being officiated. And David Griffin said his injury was likely sort of accumulation of hits that he's taken. He's kind of ref like Shaq. Nobody gives him calls. And the refs have to do a better job of that, when clearly the injury happened on one single play. And it was Zion Williamson trying to go up for the ball, and he ripped his finger on a rebound attempt. So I wouldn't say it was the best timing for David Griffin to come out and say it. Like, come out and say it a month earlier when your team is trying to fight for the playoff spot. I do commend him. I do think it's always in the interest of a front office to come out and say, yeah, our guy just needs to get better calls. And right, especially a tough guy to officiate like Zion Williamson. I'm totally in agreement with David Griffin. But bad timing. Just do it earlier. And not after everybody can see with a billion cameras, even if it's on a Saturday night against the Golden State Warriors. maybe in an instance when some people aren't watching, but I was watching. I think that was a Saturday night game. Anyways, it came against the second game of a doubleheader against the Golden State Warriors, where, yeah, he ripped his finger and it wasn't the accumulation of hits. So, you know, you got outed, Griff. You got outed. But the Pelicans are still fighting, and they do have a shot at making it in, but they won't have Zion. Brandon Ingram and Steven Adams are still banged up. So I don't know how excited you guys would be if or the NBA would be, and quite honestly, if they got in over the San Antonio Spurs. I know people wouldn't be excited about the Spurs either, unfortunately, but at least you got a fully healthy San Antonio Spurs team and young guys that you can, you know, sort of market. I know nobody unfortunately gets excited about the Spurs young guys, who are legit. But would you rather see a Pelicans team in there Zionless, because he's not coming back anytime soon, although there is no real timeline? Would you rather see a Zionless Pelicans or a
Spurs? I'd rather see the Spurs. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't. If you put that poll up, I feel like people might not even click on there.
Yeah, it's a non-voter.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. But
see, I mean, results.
Personally, I'll take the Spurs. Yeah, because I don't think Zion will be back at all this season, and that's why I think Griffin decided, well, okay, he's probably out for the year. We're not going to risk anything with him, even because our chances of getting in are still pretty damn slim. I think with when you get into like tiebreaker situations, if I have that correctly with the Spurs. But yeah, it was just weird timing with that whole like like saying basically he got injured, like his finger got jammed because of the way he's been officiated all year. It's like, I sort of see where you're trying to go with this, Griff, but I don't know. So what, cost him $50,000 in the end.
Yeah, Griffin. I didn't mention they got a $50,000 fine for publicly criticizing the officials.
Yeah.
Worth it. It's like just getting a tech foul when the coach is unhappy. You know, you just try to spark your team a little bit there. But, I mean, he said they've sent in videos in the past and they've tried to bring it to the league's attention. So I guess that's what he's referring to in terms of, you know, you're saying like it's not just this incident here. But, yeah, it's been a frustrating season for Griffin. They did not expect to be in this position. They had certainly hopes of being at worst in the you know, a lock for the play-in tournament, and now they're likely to miss everything. So he's you know, and he didn't rant and rave, he wasn't screaming his head off. He knew it was going to cost him $50,000, but it's also just like saying to Zion, like, hey Zion, we aren't just letting this stuff go unnoticed. We are trying to bring it to the attention of the league so that going forward in future seasons you should get a few more whistles. But Zion was, of course, he's also acknowledge that. Remember that game against the Nuggets where he said, I have to earn my respect. So he understands that it's something that just takes time. And, he, you know, he gets the line about 8 times a game. So he gets, you know, he gets calls. He plays inside the paint. But yes, certainly like Shaq, he's a bigger guy and he just kind of absorbs probably more contact than a lot of other guys do because of that. So we'll see how things go for them next season. And like I say, they can still squeeze in there, but
The Spurs have not been playing all that well over the last little bit. They're a game and a half, the Pelicans are. from the Spurs of that 10th seed. And somehow the Kings are still in this tray. they're like the Bulls, I guess. They're the sort of Western Conference version where they're just still there. It's unlikely. They need some help, but they're not technically eliminated yet. But what do you think?
Enough happened with the 11th and 12th seeds over the weekend that we still got a race into the last week of the season. What's better than this? Guys being dudes. As for Zion playing, just tape that thing up, buddy. You got 9 other fingers. Come on. You know Kobe would be playing through this if he was trying to get into the play-in tournament. Suck it up. Rub some dirt on it.
Maybe they don't want to make the play-in tournament.
It's a broken finger. Come on.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes they never heal. Sometimes they never heal.
What are you doing?
I just got a couple of broken fingers.
Look at those
fingers.
Digits.
Yeah, look at that baby there. You can't really see it as well. Yeah. But then there's this baby. Look at that.
Yeah, that one you can see.
Yeah.
That one looks like you just have a mole somehow growing on your finger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy played through it, though. Get out there, tape him up, boy. We got a championship to win here in Sunbury. Let's go.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Kidding, there's no Tweet of the Night. Instead, I wanted to read this email that we got from Liam over in the Philippines. What it do, baby? Today is my 27th birthday. Now, why is this important, you ask? Well, 4 years ago, I came home and fired up the old starter show on YouTube, and lo and behold, the legendary 50th wedgie was achieved. To this day, I look back on May 10th, 2017 and think to myself that the most memorable thing about that birthday was me getting excited over a basketball getting stuck between the rim and the backboard and six dudes going bonkers about it on the other side of the planet. I don't really make a big deal out of my birthday, but boy, what a time to celebrate life that was. So, aside from flexing to everyone that my birthday is Wedgie Day today, my question is, what was the most memorable thing that has happened to any of you guys on your special days? Or are you like me and you don't really celebrate it as much? Thanks for keeping the classics coming. Happy Wedgie Day. Again, that's from Liam in Antipolo City in the Philippines. A great email. We had to slip it in here for Wedgie Day. Trey, you got an answer to this question from Liam?
Yeah, I don't know if I have as big of a flex as Liam that his birthday is the same as Wedgie Day. What a legend. Liam the legend, born on Wedgie Day, first of his name, perhaps. As for me, I'm kind of like Liam. My birthday comes during the middle of the basketball season, so we're usually traveling for All-Star Weekend, but one that stuck out to me was 2009. It was actually the day before my birthday, but the Bulls traded for Brad Miller, going from the Kings to the Bulls. That was very exciting. Wow. As for me, actual birthday, my junior year of high school, I would have been turning 16 years old. One of my teammates, after we beat the Wilmington Wildcats in the locker room, he says, "See everybody for Trey's birthday party on Saturday." I'm like, "Guys, I'm not having a birthday party Saturday. JK, my mom threw me a surprise party."
Oh,
and yes, it was spoiled, but I was completely oblivious to the fact that it had been spoiled, but yeah, a nice surprise party when I turned 16 years old.
Oh, and very nice.
Thanks, Mama. There I am, walking in. Yeah, unfortunately, I hadn't grown my hands yet. I didn't get my hands until I turned 17. The fingers had finally started to pop out, but hands came a little bit later.
Oh, man, you look cool there, man. It's awesome. Is that a belt dropping down? I can't tell there. Is that just a weird design on your jeans zipper?
Yeah, here? I mean, looking at it now, perhaps I forgot to zip my fly.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to everyone else. But more than likely, this is a dangling belt.
Yeah.
You know, those were the times.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Well, Lee, we know how you feel about birthdays. You only celebrate, like, the milestone ones,
correct,
as you call it, right?
That's right.
So, like, the 10s and I guess as you get older, the 20s and the 30s and the 40s and all these other ones in between. Get out of here. Like 27th birthday, Liam, like who cares is what you're saying.
That's right. That's right.
Even if it's wedgie day?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
On your 30th, sure. Have a bit of fun there. You know, have a celebrationary wedgie. But no, because I'm the same. I don't really have a great memory of something in particular happened. But in 1999, when I turned 23... On May the 28th. Oh, hang on. No, hang on. I'm trying to think. Anyway.
Hold on.
I
18
hang on.
Days.
I know where my birthday was, and I'm just trying to think of when. I think what happened was my birthday was on a Monday, and on the Wednesday night, Manchester United achieved the most incredible thing in like English soccer history, where they won the treble. They won three tournaments that year. They won the Premier League. They won the FA Cup. And then on the Wednesday night in the Champions League in the final against Bayern Munich, they were down 1-0 for pretty much the entire game. And then in injury time, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Teddy Sheringham scored and they won. And it was like the most incredible thing ever in sort of English soccer, because Manchester United, you know, like I say, they're the biggest team. And in the final, they were missing their captain, Roy Keane, who got suspended in the semi-final for two yellow cards. And then Paul Scholes was also suspended. Paul Scholes was their best player. And Bayern Munich, you know.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm just saying. Like,
I'm just going to tell you what happened the entire season.
In well, the thing was, it was just like they what they achieved like was just incredible. And then they actually had to finish it off on that. And it was a Wednesday night. This is when they used to play the Champions League on a Wednesday night.
It was a Wednesday night.
Well, now they play on a Saturday. They now play on a Saturday. But back then, they used to play it on a Wednesday night.
So was this
night.
4 days before your birthday or 2 days after your birthday?
No, I think my birthday was the Monday and then the finals on the Wednesday. But it's just that combination. Like, it's like, it's close enough, it's good enough, you know. But if you guys haven't seen that game, you should check it out.
I did miss that one.
Because Bayern Munich are basically...
I watched Roy Keane on Ted Lasso, that's enough.
No, but Roy Keane, he was like such an inspirational leader, but he got a yellow card in their semi against Juventus. But see, and this is like the Luka situation.
Oh, Jesus.
Right, this is like a Luka situation, because if you got two yellow cards at any point, they combine to be one red card and you get automatic suspension. So if you got a yellow card in one game and then like three games later in the Champions League, you got another yellow card.
Cool story, bro.
stupid, but it happened, and it was that's just a great memory, because that's the first year
that's
really
a great memory of my birthday, a couple days after my birthday.
Well, it's because that was the first year I really, really got into soccer, and it just like seeing Man United again. So in the quarterfinal, hang on, I'm still going here against.
Say some more player names, at least. Come on.
Yeah. Well, Beckham, of course. You know David Beckham. Nicky Butt played in that game. Henning Berg was a champion for Manchester United. Andy Cole and Dwight were up front. But against Inter Milan in the quarterfinal, they were leading after the first leg 2-0.
Oh, what are you doing right now?
And then Ronaldo came back. Big fat Ronaldo. This is not Cristiano Ronaldo for the second leg in Milan.
Are we
Milan
going back
scored.
To April now?
Yes, I'm going back. And anyway, then Paul Scholes scored in Milan at the San Siro to send them through. Then against Juventus in Manchester, Juventus were leading 1-0. And remember, away goals count in Champions League if the scores are tied. Juventus were leading 1-0 for the entirety of that game. Then Giggsy scored. Might have also been in injury time. Then they go to Juventus, right? In Turin. Juventus are up 2-0 in about 15 minutes into the game. So Man United have to score at least two to win.
Andy Cole scores, Dwight York scores, and then I think it's Skull scores again. No, Roy Keane, that's it. Roy Keane scored. Roy Keane scored in Juventus.
Oh, what? Dina.
Off a header to get them back at 2-1. And then Dwight York scores to make it 2-2. And then Andy Cole finishes it off and they go 3-2. It's honestly the most incredible run by a team. And then they win the final in Barcelona, of all places, as well. So,
right.
See, I do remember it. I mean, it was such a fun run for this team to go on. They were always down and they always came back. Although against Inter Milan, they were never down. But it was just like Inter with Ronaldo coming back. It looked like they were going to do it.
Oof. Crazy birthday, man.
Oh, what a birthday. It was.
Wild birthday.
Long Barcelona.
Long celebration.
Tass, yeah, do you have down like a 15th birthday week that you'd like to talk about the Blue Jays here?
Yeah. The year was 1992. Joe Carter stepped to the plate. Along came Joe. No. Do I have a story? Well, I was around 15 years. I think I was like 12 or 13. And like Trey, no birthday parties happening that I knew of anyway. So I was just out riding bikes with my boy Alexander Chersik. We were making things happen there out on the streets. We went to his house. I got off my bike, went into the backyard. Alex went in first. And his big fat dog, Medo, his overweight dog, came and jumped on my leg and chomped at my leg. Yeah, took a nice... Well, luckily he didn't strip, like he didn't rip the skin. He just dug his teeth into my leg and it just stayed there. I froze, I was scared. So luckily, like he unclenched his jaw there and I had a big... deep wound, but it wasn't stripped. So I went to the hospital, got a tetanus shot, and got one stitch to to close the wound.
This was on your birthday, though.
Yeah, it was on my birthday, yeah. Yeah, got off my my blue Phoenix bike, walked back into that backyard, and I had to go to the hospital, but all good. It's still there. It's still there, that one stitch.
One stitch.
Thanks, Medo. Medo means bear in Serbian.
Oh, so and, it's a big-ass dog.
It was a huge dog. He barely talked, that dog. And then all of a sudden, he wants to protect his guy. I guess he was weirded out that Alex was bringing home a friend. So,
right.
Yeah. And then we went and watched soccer for like... he was a very quiet dog. And then all of a sudden, he just jumps on my leg.
Did they put the dog down, in all honesty? Did bite you?
No, they didn't put him down. Okay. No way. They love that dog too much. he was in an urn for a long time in front of their house, actually. They cremated the dog and put him in an urn for a long time. They loved him.
Wow.
Yeah.
In the front of the outside?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, front patio urn.
Patio urn!
Hey, what's that?
Yeah, it's the ashes of that dog I hate.
Nice.
Okay, unbelievable stories from all three of you guys. Really impressive stuff here.
Man, I thought Justin Schmandl and the Wilmington Wildcats were going to be some of the craziest names we've
heard right now.
Thank God
you went first.
You
actually had the tamest answer, which was a pretty great story. Anyway, just to remind you guys as we wrap up here, it is Wedgie Day. Happy Wedgie Day to everyone. May 10th. And we do have, at noon Eastern, so, 45 minutes or so from now, a limited edition run of our Wedgie t-shirt. So you're going to have to act quickly for these. I assume they're going to go pretty fast. Go to nodunks.com at 12 p.m. Eastern. Grab yourself a limited edition Wedgie shirt to celebrate Wedgie Day. Okay, pick 'em results. From Friday night, it was the Lakers-Blazers game. Blazers were favored by 7.5. We were talking about it. We're like, well, that's a big line. What's going on there? Blazers won, but did not cover. So the Lakers came through, at least when it came to the pick 'em. Brought to you by BetMGM. So that's a win for Tass. That's a win for Trey. Loss for me and Lee. Lee, you're 1-4 here, and Tass is 2-3. That's really all that matters here as we hit the final week of the regular season. It's a short pick'em. Loser, last place, going to be giving money to charity. I think we should just say now, right, if you guys are tied. I mean, you know,
well, yeah, charity listen, gets twice. I've got a little announcement because I've got my Cameo money, and when I cracked $1,000, I was going to make a donation somewhere. Well, I cracked $1,000 a week or so ago, so I'm going to give $500 no matter what happens this week to the charity. So it's good timing, yeah.
Okay, so, well, just keep picking them wrong, Lily, because you're trying to pick them.
Well, I'm
going to
do it no matter what, so win or lose, I'm just going to donate $500 to the charity there.
Okay, awesome. Well, tonight's game, Tass, where are we going then?
Well, it's the Utah Jazz and the Golden State Warriors. Could be a first-round matchup if the Warriors get out of the play-in tournament. Jazz trying to hold on to the one seed
Going into Golden State, 3.5 points. The Warriors are getting as the underdog on NBA TV. People trying to claim that this Warriors team could, maybe, possibly be like the We Believe Warriors, upset of a 1-8 if that happens after the play-in tournament. Hey, it'll be fun to watch them try and guard Steph Curry tonight, at least. So let's get some picks. Golden State getting 3.5 points at home against Utah. Who wants it? Who wants it?
I'll go first, because I actually think the Jazz will win this and cover it. Because I think if the Warriors are smart, they may throw this 8 seed. They may want to not play the Lakers. Now, I know you get 2 bites at the apple, but would it not be beneficial in a weird way for them to... Well, hold on. Now that I say that, it's like, what's the loss in losing to the Lakers? Yeah, it doesn't really, really matter. So anyway, forget that. I'll still go with the Jazz, though, because I think they would still win in a 1-8 series. So I think it'd be very entertaining to see what Curry could do against them. But I'll go Utah to win tonight by 4.
All right. Trey, what do you got?
Give me the Warriors to at least keep it close. Who has more to play for tonight? I guess it's probably still the Jazz. They're about a win away from really locking things down and being the one seed. But I don't know. Give me the Warriors. I'm just feeling like the Warriors tonight, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. Lee, what do you got?
Yeah, same. I want to see Steph have another double digits 3-point game and maybe go for 55. So I'll take the Warriors.
I feel like the Warriors, too, but I think the Jazz win, so I'll take the Jazz.
Okay. Okay, we are split on this one. Tass and I taking the Jazz to win by 4 points or more. We got Lee and TK taking the Warriors to cover or maybe hit that money line. All right, Lee, I know you got one more thing here. Please don't talk about soccer for 20 minutes, but you got a fan sign for us.
I've got a tweet here from David Beck. No, we've got a fan sign, and of course it comes from the serial sign sender Inra. Yeah, self-defeating down there in Miami. He just wants to work hard and listen to No Dunks. I mean, he hasn't missed a beat. I don't think we've heard from the serial sign sender Inra, I guess, since our starters day. He just picks up like he where he left off. And look at that great T-shirt he's got on there, too.
That's cool.
That's a Bam-blocking Tatum, right?
Bam-blocking Tatum in the game one, I think it was, of the conference finals last season. Yeah, in Miami. So good job, serial sign sender Inra. Keep them coming, man. Keep them coming.
All right. So there it is, guys. Thanks for joining us here on a Monday. Go get your wedgie shirts over at nodunks.com. They go live for sale at 12 p.m. Eastern. A lot of you, of course, listening to this later, and they're probably sold out by the time you're listening to this, but hopefully you join us live on YouTube, and please like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email us your NBA questions and comments for this week's Beach Step and Podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com, or tweet them in, @nodunksinc. And finally, subscribe to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know that we sent you. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, folks. And remember, happy wedgie day to all.
Embrace the day, people.